Well, in an age of Amazon.com and big box stores, we can forget what it used to be like to go shopping. Take the hardware store, for example. You used to go into the hardware store and a friendly man would greet you, "Hello, sir, how can I help you this morning?" And then you'd explain a problem, perhaps something with your plumbing, who knows. And then that guy would take you over to just the right part of the store and he'd give you three or four different options. Another store, in other words, you went to the store not knowing what you need before you arrived, but actually going to find out what you needed because there was somebody there who offered some expertise. And I think a few of those hardware stores are left, but there aren't that many. The same was even true of movie rentals. Do you remember Blockbuster Video? Blockbuster Video. Perhaps our younger members perhaps don't, but you used to go in there, and you would regularly ask the person behind the desk, "Oh, what do you recommend? Like, what would you like to? What should I watch?" And I don't know why they always seem to have watched every single movie. It must have been the employee discounts. I think were that good, and they'd always have a recommendation, although it might not quite match with your own preferences. The big service those kinds of stores offered was expertise. They didn't offer just an algorithm to predict what you might like to buy, but they offered some advice, something personal. In a store full of thousands of different things, they knew everything that was there, and they knew where everything was. And after listening to you, they could connect you with the right thing. Now, I bring that up not because I feel nostalgic and miss the glory days of retail that were past, but no, I bring that up because it's a great illustration of the kind of thing Jesus is talking about in this brief parable. He speaks here of the well-trained scribe in the kingdom of God. That scribe is like the owner of a house that's filled with wares, a treasure trove of resources. And this well-trained expert is able to draw from those resources wisely. He knows what everything is, and he knows where everything is, and he's able to bring out what you need when you need it. And by telling us this parable, Jesus is presenting us with a vision. A vision of what we ourselves can become by the grace of God. This is a great vision to have in mind as we look to the beginning of a new school year. Look at it this way. I'm sure as the year presses on, we're going to face all kinds of challenges, aren't we? There will be the good kind of challenge, opportunities to make progress at home or at work or at school. Then there will be not so good challenges, disappointments, unexpected trials. Now, how are you going to handle those things? But where will you find the resources to respond to them wisely and in a way that honors God? Well, the vision Jesus gives is the vision of someone well-equipped to deal with all that life throws at them. More than that, this is somebody with enough wisdom and insight, not just for themselves, but somebody who is able to draw from what they have in order to serve other people. Here we have the spiritual equivalent of that old hardware store manager, someone who has access to a whole storehouse of treasures and someone who has the expertise to connect perhaps their spouse or their kids or their neighbors or their classmates with what they need precisely when they need it. In the words of one commentator, this brief story at the end of this series of parables presents a postscript about the happy state of a well-instructed disciple. Is that not what you long to become? Do you not long to be a wise, spiritually prosperous Christian who is therefore a blessing to other people? Now, if so, then how does that happen? What is the path to becoming this well-equipped scribe who can draw from a treasure trove of things, old and new, to bless other people? Well, here is the key according to Jesus. A well-equipped disciple has a deep understanding of the teachings of the whole Bible. A well-equipped disciple has a deep understanding of the teaching of the whole Bible. In other words, what this parable should do for us is drive us in three directions. Firstly, it calls us to go deep, That is, it encourages us to pursue a deeper understanding of the Scriptures. Secondly, it calls us to go wide, It spurs us on to consider the full breadth of material that we find in our Bible. And then thirdly, it calls us not just to go deep and to go wide, but thirdly, we're called to go out. That is, the purpose of pursuing this knowledge and understanding is so that we are better able to bring the Word of God to other people. So then, let's work through those three things. And let's see what we can do to become better equipped in the year ahead. Firstly, what Jesus says here is that he invites us to go deep. And the point here is this, that the only way to become better equipped for life is to become better acquainted with Scripture. The only way to become better equipped for life is to become better acquainted with Scripture. The Bible is God's word. In it, we receive personal instruction from the God who made the universe. And therefore, it makes sense to live wisely in God's world. We need to understand God's word. We have to understand what it is God says about our lives in the universe that he made. We need his word to enter our minds and penetrate our hearts. Understanding is a vital element of what it means to live as Christians. And I say this because of verse 51. The thing that prompts Jesus to give us this great vision of the well-equipped scribe, the thing that prompts Jesus is the disciples' response to his question. So look down at verse 51. Now, having taught them about his kingdom in a series of parables, Jesus then asked them this question, verse 51, have you understood all these things? This is what Jesus is looking for. This is really the main application of his teaching in this chapter. He wants to shape our minds and shape our understanding. And look at how the disciples answer. They say to him, yes. And so, in response, Jesus follows up with a promise. Look at verse 52. And he said to them, therefore, for this reason, because you understand, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings forth treasure. In other words, if we answer no to Jesus' question, if we do not understand, we'll never become the kinds of people Jesus is describing. But if we do, if our answer is yes, and if we're growing in this area, then we will become better equipped for anything and everything that life might throw at us. Now, do you see the connection here? Do you see how essential it is that we understand Jesus' teaching? In fact, this focus on understanding is something that has been central to the message of this whole chapter. Think back to the way the chapter started with the parable of the sower. What is it that marked out the good soil in that parable? Remember the parable, the seed is sown, some of it falls on rocky soil or soil that is shallow. What is it that marks out the good soil that produces lasting fruit? Now, I mean, all of the soils hear the word, don't they? So what is it that's different about this one? Well, the answer is in verse 23. Look up the page at Matthew 13, 23. As for what is sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. It is not until the word takes root in our minds that we'll find fruit in our lives. Unless you plant tomato seeds out in the garden, there will be no tomatoes at harvest. Unless you consider the word and what it means for you, you should not expect to make much progress as a Christian. So let me ask you, do you understand? If Jesus were here today and were to say to you, do you understand all these things? What would you say? And now Jesus' question pertains especially to the parables. But as we'll see in a moment, we could apply it, I think, to the whole Bible. Now, how well do you understand all these things? All these things in the Bible? What would you say when Jesus asks you, do you understand these things? Maybe you'd say, yes, sort of, maybe. I understand some of it. Well, maybe not really. Now, whatever your answer, do you have a hunger to grow in your understanding? Do you see the value in gaining a better knowledge of the Bible? Do you see the value in becoming more skilled in reading and understanding the Bible for yourself? And do you see how valuable that would be in terms of equipping you to serve and encourage other people? Do you see the Bible as a storehouse of wisdom, like that well-furnished hardware store with every fastener and bolt and widget you need? Do you believe what Paul wrote in those words to Timothy that we read a moment ago, that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, equipped for every good work? Or do you find the Bible boring, irrelevant, and uninteresting compared to all kinds of other things that could occupy your attention? Are you jaded and discouraged because you try to read the Bible? You try to make sense of it, but it just doesn't seem to yield its treasures to you. Well, if that's the case, let me encourage you. The kind of understanding I'm talking about is something actually that God alone can give. But it is something that he does give. In fact, earlier, Jesus himself says this to the disciples, that to you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. This is the reason they can say yes to Jesus' question. It's precisely because God has made it known to them. It's not because they're especially smart, intelligent people. These people were uneducated fishermen. And this kind of understanding is something that God has granted. It is a gift. and yet it is a gift that must be sought. There is no way to bypass this. We sometimes wish, don't we, as if there was some kind of technology so we could plug a cable into our Bibles and then into our minds and just kind of download the entire content. But that's not how it works. To grow in our understanding of God's Word, we have to actually read the Word. We have to reflect on the Word. We have to pray that God would open our minds and open our hearts. But it's not like we're alone on that journey, is it? In fact, there are numerous ways to grow in your understanding of God's Word. Here at West Valley, it was not my intention that this sermon would just be some sort of plug for the various things taking place this fall, but I think it is actually a good application, so I'm going to make it. Let me spotlight some of those things for you. They're there on this card, aren't they? Well, there's the Bible studies first, isn't there? Every Tuesday night at 7:30, a group of women meet here to read and study the book of Deuteronomy this fall. And then every Thursday night at 7:30, a group of men will get together to do the same thing. And then there's another group of women who meet on Saturday morning, 8 a.m. at Panera over in Trexler Town. What is the aim of all that? Why do we do this? Is it just because we don't have any other friends and we just enjoy hanging out together? Nothing better to do? No, the aim is to go deep and to pray that God would help us understand His Word. Our aim is that through that understanding, God would equip us with wisdom to live and follow Christ, as well as to serve other people around us. And now it's possible that none of those times work for your schedule, and that's okay. The purpose of those things isn't so that you will serve them. Rather, they're there to serve you. But why not find a time that does work? Why not set aside one morning or one afternoon or one evening and work through the study guide with a friend or even on your own? The study guides aren't there this week, but they will be next week. It's good to read the Bible. We should try and do that every day. But it's also good to go deep, to study the Bible, to deepen our understanding. Now, another thing you could consider is one of the Friday night fellowships that are coming up in September and October. Now, those are a little bit different. They focus not on a particular Bible book, but rather on a topic. After a time of fellowship over dessert, we dig into what the Bible says about those topics. We want to understand our lives from God's perspective, to be better equipped, to encourage other people to see the Word of God, the world of God through the Word of God. And again, I hope you can see I'm not just promoting events here. It's not that I want to fill up your calendar. No, rather the events themselves are promoting something. They're all about promoting something. They're about promoting a deeper understanding. All of these things are born out of a conviction based on these very words of Jesus Christ, that the key to becoming a more joyful, well-equipped Christian is to have a deeper understanding of the Word of God. So make it your aim to go deep this year. That's the first thing we see. Plan to become a more able student of the Bible. But secondly, Jesus' words also encourage us to go wide. And the point here is that the only way to become trained for all of life is to be familiar with all of Scripture. We need to grow in our understanding, yes, but what is it that we need to understand if we want to have the resources to face all kinds of challenges? Well, to be fully equipped, we can't just focus our attention on one place exclusively. It isn't enough just to be well-versed in Paul's epistles and memorize an outline of one of the Gospels. No, we need the whole book from beginning to end. Do you not understand all these things, says Jesus in verse 51. Do you understand all these things? Now, I've already said in first instance, Jesus is clearly referring to the parables he's told in this verse. All of the parables, that's what he's talking about. But I would argue we could make the reference much wider. There's a reason for believing that Jesus is really asking about how well they understand the whole of the Word of God. And I say that because of the context, really. Remember what we've been saying again and again if you've been here as we've been working through this series. How the real focus of these parables is in shaping the disciples' expectation. The Old Testament had promised a Messiah who would come and bring in God's kingdom with power and defeat God's enemies. And that is why many people were confused about Jesus during his ministry. He did not look like that Messiah. He did not seem to be acting in the way the Old Testament predicted. But the whole point of these parables is to see that, yes, he is the promised Savior. It's just that his kingdom comes in ways that are unexpected. In other words, one of the main points of these parables is to explain the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In fact, this is one of the central themes throughout Matthew's Gospel. Back in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:17, Jesus says this, that he did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but rather to fulfill them. And what we have here in chapter 13 is really an explanation of how he does it in surprising ways. In fact, in many ways, chapter 13 really is a bridge that connects the life of Jesus with all of those Old Testament promises. Do all of the promises God made in the Old Testament come to fulfillment? Yes, through unexpected methods, unexpected responses, unexpected timing, and all the other things we've seen this summer. And so when Jesus asks, do they understand all these things, I don't think he's just limiting it to these parables. Rather, do we understand how the ministry of Jesus connects with the whole context of Scripture? Do we understand the promises in the Old Testament and how they come to fulfillment? Do we understand what it is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he's the prophet, priest, and king that God had promised? That is why Jesus says the well-trained scribe is able to draw from treasures old and new. They know the teaching of the whole of the Bible. They know how all of the Bible holds together as one story. To use the illustration Jesus himself uses, one of the ways to view the Bible is as a glorious house, with all kinds of amazing rooms full of wonderful things. A few years ago, Sherilyn and I went to Hildene House up in Vermont. It's an old stately home with many wonderful rooms, or you might perhaps have been to Longwood Gardens and walked around the estate there. Maybe you've visited one of the stately homes in England where Downton Abbey was filmed or something like that. Now, imagine you inherited that kind of house with those kinds of grounds. But imagine that you decided you were only going to live in one tiny corner and never actually decided to roam the whole estate that belonged to you. Well, the Bible is like that house. There is so much to explore, so many treasures. There are opulent antiques like the glorious promises of Isaiah, as well as modern marvels like the graphic pictures painted in the book of Revelation. How can we limit ourselves to just one part? And yet so often we do, don't we? And that is the reason some of us get bored or discouraged in reading the Bible. Firstly, familiarity breeds contempt for some people. They often tend to stay in just one place and get comfortable. We become very, very familiar with a gospel, perhaps, or with the letters of Paul, and we assume that we know all there is to know, and we never roam further afield and see there is much more out there. For the same reason, others become discouraged. Maybe they start with the book of Romans, and they lose heart when they can't unravel Paul's carefully crafted logic. And yet the whole Bible isn't the same. An epistle might be hard going for you, but have you ever read the striking narratives of 1 and 2 Samuel? Maybe you'd find that an easier place to start. In the Bible, God teaches us in a variety of ways, in stories and songs, in poetry and prose. In the Bible, we have a rich tapestry of God's revelation. In the Bible, God's multifaceted wisdom comes to expression in 1,000 different ways. But at the same time, it's all interconnected, isn't it? There is one central focus, a central theme, a central character. The Bible really is one message about Jesus. He is the great treasure. Remember we said that? He is the pearl of great price, as we saw a few weeks ago. But the key to understanding this is to know that we find this treasure in all of Scripture, on every page, wherever we would turn. In 1,000 different ways, God teaches us about Jesus, in ways that minister to us, in different ways, that meet different needs at different moments. The Bible is like a well-stocked medicine cabinet. The Bible provides a remedy, the right facet of the truth, to help us deal with any spiritual malady. And that is why we must read the Bible widely. It's why we must go wide. It's why in our Bible studies we're working through Deuteronomy. On Sunday mornings we're going to be preaching through 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament, which makes sense. In our Bible studies we'd cover something in the Old Testament too. This is one of the good things about a daily Bible reading plan as well. Perhaps reading one chapter of the Old Testament and one chapter of the New. If you don't have a plan, why not try that? Why not start today? You often find on your first run on a reading plan like that, you encounter a lot of things you don't understand. But you also find that as you continue, God starts to put the pieces together. Things start to connect. One part of the Bible answers questions that were raised by another. Now, we need to go deep in our understanding of Scripture, but we also have to go wide. To become well equipped for life, we need to understand the Bible. And just like that blockbuster video guy, it's helpful if you've seen everything in the store, isn't it? You've got to know it all. Because if you're acquainted with the whole Bible, then you'll be prepared to know where to lead someone else to encourage them. Go deep and go wide. But that leads to the third thing. Thirdly, we must also go out. Go out. Go deep, go wide, and go out. And the point here is to see that it is not enough just to grow in our understanding of the Bible to go deep. And we don't just need to read the whole Bible to go wide in our study of Scripture. To be thoroughly equipped as disciples, we also need to share what we learn with other people. We need to take what we know, however little that might feel at this point, and we need to be thinking about how we can use that to encourage other people in their journey. And this idea is actually implicit in the word Jesus uses in verse 52. Look down at verse 52. And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained in the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a house." Every scribe who has been trained in the kingdom. And now the fact that Jesus uses this word scribe is important for a number of reasons. Firstly, what we find when we look at the way Matthew uses this word elsewhere is that in almost all places it actually has a negative connotation. What we find again and again is that the scribes are those who are at the forefront of rejecting Jesus. It was the scribes together with the Pharisees who accused Jesus of blaspheming. It's the scribes who gathered to try Jesus after his arrest. And it was the scribes who mocked him as he hangs on the cross at Calvary. The scribes were the teachers of the law, the religious experts, the go-to people on how to serve God in the Jewish community. So then, when Jesus uses this word scribe, surely he's making a point about the disciples. He's making this point that his disciples are about to replace those rebellious Jewish leaders. His disciples are now going to become the go-to people when it comes to God and what we know about him in the Bible. Since they understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, they are now the true experts. And they, in turn, are to become teachers of other people. And the same thing is true, actually, of any disciple of Jesus. Jesus is making clear here that the mature Christian isn't just one who knows the Bible well for themselves, but rather it is the one who is equipped to be a teacher of the law, to be an instructor of others. In fact, it's clear from the parable itself, isn't it? Jesus speaks of the master of the house who brings out treasures, bringing them out to bless others, his family, as well as his neighbors and any guests he might have among him. The image here is of someone who doesn't just store away goods for themselves. Rather, it is somebody who is ready and equipped to bring the treasure of the gospel to bear in the lives of other people. As someone who knows what to say when their children face pressure at school and need some encouragement and some guidance. Someone who knows how to minister to their aging parents, struggling with waning health and increasingly dependent on you or your siblings. Someone who knows how to encourage a friend who is perhaps struggling in their marriage or facing a difficult financial decision. Someone who knows where to take someone in the Bible to answer their neighbor's difficult question. Or someone who can open the Bible to share their faith, to share the gospel with an unbeliever. Now, it's not that we're all meant to become Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible answer man, that we have a verse for every occasion, but rather it is that we are ever increasingly to become equipped to wisely and winsomely bring someone else encouragement from the Scriptures. And when you think about it, is that not what you long for? Now, when a friend at work perhaps raises you with you a challenge that they're facing, don't you wish that you just had something to say, something encouraging, something from the Word of God that would help point them toward Jesus? Don't you want to be like this scribe, trained for the kingdom of God, like a master of a house who just has access to all of this treasure and knows where to go? He knows what to bring out just at the right time. And now, I recognize all of us probably feel woefully inadequate to that, don't we? We can feel like we're blundering through, but the point here is to see this. We don't have to blunder through according to Jesus. It is possible to have ready access to the resources you need to discern the will of God, to motivate your obedience, to encourage other people, to be competent to counsel and disciple them. And a key part of becoming well-equipped is deciding that we're going to put ourselves out there and share what we know with others. This is true even of the youngest Christian. The Christian who is just getting started has something to share, don't they? But the key is, you have to get the word out. It's as you get the word out, as you start to try and encourage other people, that you realize you're not quite sure what to say, and so you go back to the storehouse. You go back to the Bible, eager to become better and better equipped to minister the word more wisely. Now, thinking back to the guy at the hardware store, he didn't become the way he was overnight, did he? He wasn't born with the ability to tell the difference between a truss screw and a carriage bolt. No, he learned that through painful experience. And so it is with the disciple. You need to go deep, and you need to go wide, and you need to go out if you want to be equipped in a way of service. In fact, I think back to my days as a physics major in college, painful days. We spent a lot of time in the lab. One of the most useful things I discovered was that it was a good idea to forge a good working relationship with a lab technician. That's what if you work in a lab, you need a good relationship with the lab tech. So often as we were confronted with an experiment, we were uncertain of what exactly we needed and where we would go to find it. And that is where the lab techs came in. And not only had they overseen the same experiment thousands of times over the years, but they also knew the store closet like the back of their hands. This is the kind of person Jesus is talking about when it comes to spiritual things. And of course, Jesus Christ himself is the chief technician, we might say. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The scriptures are about him. He is the treasure. But the well-trained disciple will have been taught by him how to navigate that storeroom. And how will that happen? Only if we go deep and grow in our understanding of the scriptures. And only if we go wide and broaden our knowledge to expand to cover the whole Bible. And only if we share what we're learning with other people. Now, let me remind you then of the vision that we started with. Remember those days when you visited the hardware store or Blockbuster Video? Remember the knowledge, the expertise of the people who knew what everything was and where everything was and were able to connect you with the help you needed. Let this be our goal over the next year. Let it be our goal to become experts in knowing and applying God's word to ourselves and to one another. Let's pray.